Hey, y'all. Welcome to Latte and Laundry. I'm Suzanne Bilodeau, and I am so honored to be with you here as we navigate motherhood, wifehood, sisterhood, and everything in between. This is a podcast for my fellow imperfect people who want to grow in greater communion with our most perfect God. So join me and my friends as we laugh, cry, dive deep, and explore with one another as we journey towards stilling our souls while moving our world. Hey guys. Okay. Hey guys. Welcome back. Sorry. I just sometimes get really giddy when I'm sitting here with Sarah and it's late at night and I'm just so excited to podcast. I can't tell you because like I said last week, this stuff feeds my soul.
Yeah.
I get to sit here with a cup of tea or whatever it may be with Sarah and talk about Jesus.
I know. But could we also say one awesome thing about this book is that it sounds like it should be a Whitney Houston song.
I believe in love. Yeah. Oh, come on.
Celine Dion, yes, maybe.
Celine Dion, for sure. Could have been a Titanic theme or something, right? Yeah.
It's going to be tough if you like don't have this book and you're Googling it.
And you're like, what comes up?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If it's not the
but
book.
It's not. It's a life-changing, amazing book.
So this week we are talking about great desires, humility, and peace. His chapter 5 or conference 5, however you want to say it. And before we dive in, there's so much meat again with every chapter. We'll open up with this week's Bible verse, which is going to be Luke 10:27. And it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." And that's just such a perfect segue into desires. Desire, right?
Let's take that heart.
Yeah. And Father John says that we must be souls. Again, it's that first page. Every chapter, I'm always like, I got to start with the first
page.
Let's
go back to that. Yes, let's see.
Because he says we must be souls of desire.
Mm-hmm.
And we must desire to be not only good, but holy. And that was one of the beautiful things about St. Therese, right? She desired this holiness, but knew her littleness at the same time.
Yes.
Right? And that was like what was so beautiful about this. And she, and like we've mentioned it, I forget which chapter it was, where she says, this is a desire imprinted on our heart from him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we must be almost like do this like dance with him where we must be attentive to that to like nurture and nourish that desire.
Yes.
So we don't become lukewarm and...
Right. Let's come back to this. Let's keep coming back to this. Let's grow in this holiness. Let's like, the more you recognize what it is that is holy and good and pure, the easier it is to spot those things that are your fallen nature.
Amen. We've talked about this on the podcast before and I talk about this with all my friends, but it's that like dollar bill.
Yeah. Where's the real one?
Right. Identifying counterfeit. In case you haven't heard it on before, it's when they're teaching people how to identify counterfeit money. They don't show them counterfeit money and show them the tricks and the things that are messed up. What they do is they have them touch, smell, feel, go over real money over and over and over and over and over again. So they know what is the correct, true, real thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, when something sneakily is slightly off, they are just so in tuned to be alerted that this is not right.
Right. It's almost like changing what would be observational into instinct.
Yes. Like, second nature.
I don't know what it is, but something tells me this is wrong. Right. Yeah. So it's like the more time you're spending with Christ, the more time in prayer, or even I find myself like not in prayer, but just with him.
Mm.
Always like, please all the time. Talking. With me.
Yes. He's like your companion. I think especially for us moms, we can have tons of friends and spouses and family, but the daily walk of motherhood we might have mentioned this before, can be, feel very lonely.
Yes.
And it's such an actual gift if you think about the opportunity that gives us to walk with Christ all day. Because we are not like necessarily, some of us might be, but not all of us are in an office talking with other colleagues all day or still some of us might be in classrooms and whatnot. But
the volume's down.
The volume is down and in some ways, and the volume's very high. In other ways, when you're at home, come to my house.
Oh. The volume's so low over at my house. Gosh. Guys.
Between the two of us, when we have like each other over for dinner, it's so loud because there's 13 kids and one on the way. So, but it's that idea of like, what a gift it is for us to have almost time. That loneliness, uh-huh. because it keeps, it can, it's again, this desire, it's that desire to turn your heart to him, to make him the thing, the forefront of your mind. And I love what Father Jean talks about on page 116 when he says, what will men not do to gain public recognition? Mm. How many steps and sometimes how many compromises? Yet all that is for a temporary fortune, a fleeting enjoyment, for the glory of a moment, a puff of smoke, right? And he's referencing from the page before, just like whether it's your career or a sport or whatever, like you know to practice, you know to go after it. You like that's your desire and you will work hard for it, right? And he says, and you call to partake in the intimate life of the Holy Trinity, to know God as he knows himself, to love him as he loves himself. How sad it would be if you were merely to creep along in indifference. Mm. Routine, terrible routine, is the daughter of all apathy. In order to rise out of mediocrity and lukewarmness, renew your desires. And I think I forget what saint it was, but when they said, like, you can ask God to give you that desire if you don't even have the desire for him. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Lord, put that flame in my heart.
Right.
Help me desire you. That right now. And you know what? Come quite on. Frankly, Jesus, I don't even want to pray to desire you. You need to help pray.
help me to want to desire you.
Like, you could back up tenfold there. And he's every time he's like, sweet girl, yep, I'll take you one step closer.
Okay, do you want to hear like a sad, pathetic, like, framing of these desires?
Oh, gosh.
Back when we had our fourth, this was like, we never have time off. And so my maternity leave was like actually getting practicals done. We got ourselves a new cell phone. And on the phone was already whatever was preloaded. So there's me nursing. I'm like, I'll just sit and like set up my new phone. And I started playing Candy Crush.
Do you know that's a problem?
Yeah, it was.
It's a problem.
I like didn't even know it was going to be a problem. And then I'm not kidding you. At night I had, so we're not talking a long time. People were talking like 3 days. It was on my phone. By the third night, I was having anxiety dreams of crushing candy. Oh, is that the sickest thing ever?
This is hilarious because I had I didn't have the nightmares, but I had a similar thing when I had my third born with Candy Crush. I loaded it. Somebody got me an iPad and somebody loaded Candy Crush on my phone, on my iPad. And I did it during labor because I was like, yep, it's going to be distracting.
I need something. Crush that candy. Fleeting enjoyment. Glory of a moment, a puff of smoke. Well, that's what it was. I'm like, I have this beautiful, sweet newborn in my lap.
And I'm candy crushing.
And I'm, my mind is now separate. Like, what have I even been doing? Honestly, it was so humbling. And I was so grateful for it because I was like, ooh, if I ever get proud of myself, I'm just going to remember that I was the mom that for 3 days was obsessed with Candy Crush and could not see the fog that I was living in.
Right.
But there's that distance, like it does come back to me. I know this has been like a part of our intentional mothering and something that we have to work at daily because it really is effort to overcome these small mental breaks of being present for the people who are in our lives. Mm. And if there's not people in front of us that need us, then that's time with Christ.
Mm.
And that's hard to keep going back to, right? Like to keep on reminding yourself if you are out of that habit, but then like that counterfeit money, once you feel it, you can tell the emptiness, not in the healthy spiritual emptiness, in the sad loneliness.
The void.
Yep. Void of pointlessness of like where you need what's real and what's true and beautiful to fill your days in your life. And like how much more could be coming out of that time.
Well, that's why I think it's so important too when he says renew your desires. If you don't right now, like I'm in a season and I hope this season lasts till the day I die where I thirst for Christ so much and I desire him so much. Mm. And I think it's because I've tasted his, oh, she's pointing to me something.
There you go. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Let
there you go.
No, where is that? On page 116, right underneath you. What you just said. Renew your desires.
And I think it's so, I literally do, right? So for me in this season, and if it's grace-filled, I don't know. But in this season, I yearn for him all the time. But that doesn't mean I'm not binging a Netflix show here and there. It doesn't mean I'm not in this world still living and participating in life and enjoying absolutely. Life. But I think Father Jean is not saying renew your obedience to do a chore of meeting Christ in prayer, all you have, Christ delights in it.
Still do it.
Christ delights in it. It's actually probably a greater gift that you do it out of sheer obedience when it doesn't feel like the same thirst I have. Because he's delighting in just your obedience to come to him, right?
Yes. He sees your heart trying.
He sees your heart. But that being said, this is an opportunity, whether you have the desire or you don't, to prayerfully ask for it or to ask that he keep renewing it. Mm-hmm. Because that is it. He doesn't want us to get into a state of lukewarmness where it always is a chore. Because then it will be that Candy Crush. Mm-hmm. Talk to Jesus. Oh, Candy Crush. Right?
Right.
And don't get me wrong, you can play, this is not a don't play Candy Crush like PSA, right? Like, you can do all those things, that's fine. But he wants that to be our priority. And it's funny because I was just listening to a podcast by Father Mike Schmitz. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how in the 1400s, the word priority was coined out of the Latin word for first. And for 500 years, priority was we only had it in the singular form. And then between the 1940s and 1960s, they made it, created the plural
what
form
are
of it,
priorities.
And he said, but there really can't be more than one first. Coming from the Latin word first, it was always what's first, what's first, what's your first. Mm. And then the world expanded to be what are your firsts? What are your many firsts? Yeah. Right?
Multitask.
And I thought that was so powerful because he's like,
yes.
Look, there should be nothing like that's the greater priority than that idea to become a saint, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and not to be like a pat me on the back, I'm a saint, but literally because you want to be in heaven with Christ. That's it, period.
Yes.
Done. And if that's your top priority, not priorities, everything else kind of falls into place, right? First, seek the kingdom of God. Always first seek the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. Sorry. No, this is like a moment of little props to my mom. Like, for the time that I was dating H, I found it a little bit, it was just overwhelming at the time, but her question was always like, well, is this marriage material? And I was like, I'm 14. Whoa. Like, yeah. But her whole point was, growing you in relationship in a way that this would get you to heaven? Because your understanding of spouse is like, you have chosen this person as the one singular person who's going to help you get to heaven the most, right? If that, I mean, that's what marriage
is
requires.
Yep.
And it helped other things to seem silly that probably would have just seemed age appropriate at the time. But I was like, oh, this isn't even like close to what I would want a relationship to be, right? So I think that question of like whether or not these things are heaven bound in our day to day.
That's awesome.
Totally changes what our desires would be, right? Because there's so many different ways that God made us where he wants us to spend our time. And you look at the talents of individuals and what they can create and what they do. If it's not for his glory, then
what?
Fog and a whiff of smoke, right? It's like it has that emptiness.
It's in everything we do. We're either moving towards Christ or away from him in everything we do. And that can even be like while you fold a piece of laundry and your kid is talking to you, just in that sheer obedience to living your vocation is moving towards Christ, right? And so it's in everything that we do. And the more that we continue, like all the chapters leading up to this, having that confidence, abandoning ourselves to the place we're in, that's growing in that community and that will just put a flame to the spark of desire that's in our heart for him, right?
Yes.
And I love what Father Jean said. He says on, I don't know what page it is, but he says that a great desire to love is already great love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. Mm-hmm. So like, even when you love, you don't love well, because we don't all love well all the time, right? Whether it's loving Christ in just our heart and our relationship with him, or loving our spouse and our kids. But that actual desire to, as moms, we know this so well, or spouses or whatever, like, I just want to love them well, and I mess up on it over and over and over again. But just that desire is already great love.
Yes.
And that is so beautiful when you think about it in your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. Of just, we want to love him well. Mm-hmm. And we know we fall short of that a lot. Yeah. Right? But just that desire.
It's so funny to think back to of how far we've probably come since we became moms, wives, right? And now we're calling out more and more, like, I just, like, I say this, I just want to be a good mom. And like, but it's in that fear of like, can I keep being a good mom? Can I be a truly good mom? That's all I want. Like, I just desire to be this for them. And it is so obvious that if that's what our heart desires, that's what we spend our effort and our time doing. And that's our prayer to God.
Right,
like,
absolutely.
In those moments of that crying out of like, my husband needs me. I just want to be a good wife. Mm. I just want him to get to heaven. Like, help me get him to heaven. There is a part in this where he talks about that grace that's getting flooded on you.
Speak to that.
If you're praying into that and asking on it, God is flooding you with the grace that's going to allow these things to happen, right? So that's why we say, go back all of these steps. If you don't desire it yet, pray that you desire it. If you can't even like get to wanting to pray to God, like, I'm having a hard time praying to you about this. Like, so I found that the hardest with some of my pride in forgiveness, like, I actually don't want to forgive this person. So I'm not praying for forgiveness. I'm like, God, please help me to want to forgive. Right. So it's like taking yourself out these steps. And it's not until you're asking for that, that the grace is getting poured into that wound in your heart. Like, there's obviously something in you that is either needing nurturing, right? Or it hasn't started to grow yet. And now you're saying, I'm giving you the space to do it. Like, I want you to take this over because I don't have it, right? That abandonment, that confidence that he's going to do it. And that desire, because we know him now, or maybe we're just on the cusp of knowing him. We're like, I just want to know you more.
Yeah. I love that. And I think like one of the like things that we keep seeing as a common theme throughout all these chapters is this, way in which we keep looking to God through childlike eyes and how he desires that of us. And Father John was talking about how, like, when we're like seeking this great desires to love him well and to have this intimacy with Christ, that a lot of times we might get really hard on ourselves for our failings and our sinfulness. And he says, you will perhaps be astonished that having preached to you that confidence, which so enlarges the soul and expands the heart, that I should now speak to you about the way, about the narrow gate on the subject of the little way, St. Teresa's way, right? But listen to the Holy Father. The gate which is truly narrow, accessible to all, is that of humility. So I love that.
Yeah.
And he says, the narrow way, the narrow gate, is for those who become again like little children. And again, it's that idea we talked about, I think it was even last week. It's that becoming childlike, that recklessness, that abandon, that just like almost pure and unjaded way that like children love and desire and seek and are present, right? And he says, to his disciples who asked him, who was the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus, calling a little child and placing him in the midst of them, answered, amen, I say to you, unless you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's the whole idea of like humility and this like tininess. And Saint Therese just totally captured that in her beautiful way of being little, right?
So she had this gift of seeing things with a clarity. And I think that that's something that children have. They have this clarity. They have like a very, they'll be the ones to comment if they see something wrong happen where we're like maybe scared to do right?
Yes.
Right. But I think there's so many great little examples of balance throughout this conference that are childlike, of like not taking things too hard and not building them up too much, you know, of like that reckless abandon, the right and wrong, but things don't have the same distortion for children the way they do for us in adulthood, right? Like things have gotten over the years, things have gotten a little mixed up for us adults. Right,
more complicated. We make it more complicated.
Yep. So much more complicated. And I love that idea of like keeping this in equilibrium. There's this one, and it's almost like I read it and I thought it was really funny. What did he say? He's like, we're not pessimists or neurotics. Another fruit of peace is equilibrium of the soul. Peaceful souls are neither pessimists nor neurotics.
Yes.
It's kind of like, chill out.
On
both sides of it. It's like, because you've got to know those ways that, like when we talked a little bit about our nature versus our will, like that our nature can lead us to fall into things that become vices, right? Or things that are going to grow into virtue. And the attempt at virtue can become neurotic to the point of a vice. It's like
so
we could mess things so many ways that continuing to keep it balanced and centered on Jesus as the center of our balance is such a good reminder for me to kind of keep things framed how he wants them to be seen so that you're still striving towards him. It's not about me. I love that, like, stripping yourself out of it and just letting it rest on his scale.
Ugh.
Amen. I'm going to look back at that and pray on it a lot more. Like when I lost my cool about some Crocs we couldn't find. Oh, I was so,
I'm like,
I know, I'm so hormonal, but man.
and I love when, just in this balance of like, even like Saint Therese talks about, like loving our littleness, but it's not this like we talked about before, it's not this deprecation of like, I'm so unworthy.
I'll just sit over here alone at this table.
No,
she is so clear on where her littleness falls.
Exactly. And she says, let us, it's on page 126. She says, let us remain very remote from all that glitters. Let us love our littleness. Let us love to feel nothing. Then we shall be poor in spirit, and Jesus will come seeking us, however far away we are. He will transform us into flames of love. And then I just love this. Father John says, humility is an abyss which attracts the torrents of graces, which attracts Jesus himself into a soul. He was not able to resist the humility of the prodigal son, the good thief, or the woman in Canaan. The vacuum which humiliation makes in us when we receive it rightly is an emptiness which attracts him irresistibly. Okay, here's that emptiness thing again that just like
hits your heart.
Hits my heart. He bends over the soul who loves its littleness and nothingness. He bends over it with an unspeakable love. And I'm like, oh, like just this like vision of Christ like leaning down over us. And not because of this, like, again, this pathetic littleness of nothingness. It's this just this freeness, right?
So think about what's absent from your soul when you are little in those things, right? Yeah. It's pride.
Amen.
It is that's the big, like, you're not angry because of what you think you deserve. You're not jealous because you're looking at someone else. You're not seeking revenge because you didn't get your share. You have emptied your selfishness and put all of your hope and your need in him. But I love that because I think it's very common for mothers to experience anger in home life.
Common.
I'm going to say a profound thing.
I think moms get angry.
I think some moms sometimes get a little heated.
might raise their voice a little bit here or there.
I've had maybe one, maybe two times.
Yeah. Never seen it.
I hope everyone hears the sarcasm here. I've prayed to
lessen that anger, to soften those edges, to wield them down. In all honesty, it has been humility that has totally removed it from my heart in the instances when it's gone, right? And it doesn't mean that it's always gone.
No.
Because it comes back up different times. Like said, missing Crocs. Yes. My gosh, I am so silly. But when you think of like how much it takes, it just, that vacuum, I love that. It's like down to silence.
Yes.
Down to nothing.
That emptiness. And that's where children have such a greater capacity of emptiness, which is why he keeps asking us to come back as his child. Little children are not filled with the things that we are filled with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so there is this like ability. Why do you think it's so many times that the apparitions and things have come to children?
Yes.
Because they have emptiness, this openness that unfortunately the world
to just receive.
Yes. And unfortunately the world has filled us up with so many other things, and he's just asking us to keep coming back to that childlike way. And that's why Saint Therese was just so beautiful and taught us so much that was just very radical from what people knew at the time. And it's just
completely, yes, let me rewrite what the book looks like for how your heart needs to be. So I love, there's this like one little part that ties into what we're saying. Since the fall, we're all proud men. We want to dominate. We want to command. We want to be appreciated. We want to be applauded. Contempt and indifference leave a profound sadness and a painful bitterness in our souls. That pridefulness brings out like what it is that you think you deserve, or those comparisons, or those times when you're mean to other people, right? Like, he doesn't really get into it yet, but this is where it prevents us from being a loving neighbor or seeing Christ in others. But this is, I love this. The apostles at the Last Supper, after 3 years of life near our Lord, still disputed among themselves as to which of them was the greatest. If that doesn't give you confidence in you know what, he's not looking for perfect here, people.
I mean,
moms, he's probably okay with us getting a little.
I mean, we talk about this all the time, but Peter is kind of my like buddy.
I know.
Buddy. I love him. So much. I'm like,
thank you for our being first pope.
You were chosen to be the rock, rock, and you denied him three times, and you doubted him. You were walking on water, Peter,
and
then you got scared, and you started to sink. Like, so it's just
human. Thank you for being so human. But how beautiful his story. Like, I always love the difference of him and Judas. It's like, what's the one thing?
Yep.
He wept and asked. Like, I just love that.
Yes. I know.
Please come back to me. Or like, please forgive me. Yeah. Or like, right? What it took for a child. Like, Judas didn't have that child in his heart that said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Right? He was like, I'm unforgivable, which is adult, right? That's like, I'm taking on the shame and I'm taking on the responsibility because I'm not letting you into my heart, because I'm not letting you take over. Peter doing that great desire, right? Even his human nature couldn't overtake his desire for Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is where like desire and humility and peace, this whole thing is like gets tied together, even in just that example. And I love when Father Jean says it so very like almost like frank, when he says, weep in bereavement or misfortune, but weep in peace. You may lose everything, but you do not have the right to lose your peace. Be peaceful in the failures of your spiritual life, peaceful in the failures of your apostolate. You spend yourself, you devote yourself, you almost kill yourself, often to arrive at the most disappointing results. Mm-hmm. You sow, others will reap. You will reap in heaven. There is no failure for the apostle who knows how to wait for the appointed time of Jesus, even if it should come after his death.
You're like, oh my gosh.
I mean, and that's just so good. And it ties all that stuff together. It's that like fervent desire, that humility to be okay with your littleness in the eyes of Christ in the childlike way, this beautiful openness and emptiness.
Yes.
And this peace to know that you might not reap the rewards of what you are doing through this confidence and this abandonment in the way that you might expect on this side of the veil of heaven.
Mm-hmm. And how much harder to like live through that, that knock on your pride. Things don't go to plan. You don't get to enjoy the hard work that you've done. To hold on to the truth that you are waiting for something better, right?
Yes.
That is so, that's the challenge of our life. But we know, says St. Paul, that those who love God, to those who love God, all things work together for good.
Mm. Simple.
It is. And at the same time, having to put off for years what you were hoping for, right? Years what you were working for, to admit failure after failure, to see your work go awry, and to still hope. But you know where I love that? It would be easy to believe if we constantly were coddled. And we know how we raise our kids. We're intentionally not coddling. We are loving hard, right? You're like, tough love comes in a lot, because if it was always easy and if it was always immediate gratification, this would not bring us greater.
Well, I think it's so funny, because this idea of like, you might not, you could be working hard and not reaping your reward and all this stuff. It's just, I'm so overwhelmed with the feeling of the greatest accomplishment that you can do probably is something that the world cannot see. And it might even just be that abandonment and that surrender and that confidence in Christ through your failures. It's that, like, when you maintain that peace of heart in the midst of massive misfortune or tragic disappointment, that is like gold medal achievement in the spiritual life. Like, you have just touched the hands of saints. You have just tasted the glory of heaven in that. And I think we don't know it until you feel it and you experience it and you're like, whoa. And the world could be coming down around you. Your life could feel like it's crumbling. But in those tiny ways that you can then do exactly what he's saying here and actually not lose your peace, not go, don't lose my peace, don't lose my peace, don't lose me, but actually center yourself in Christ and go, okay, God, your will, and abandon yourself to his tender father care. You have just like taken leaps, leaps and leaps to reach the sainthood that Christ is talking about here. What Father Mike Schmitz was talking about, the desire to dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes. So this is beautiful. My grace is sufficient for you. We begin our heaven here below in the divine peace Jesus gives us. So it's the working, those moments where you have something glimmering of like, oh, carried, right? Yes. Like, that's how I kind of feel it. It's like, you are being carried. You are being held through this. And so it softens the highs and the lows, right? It frames everything. There's this really beautiful little antidote story, and it was this like Chinese myth. It was like, good or bad, who knows? For us, we can only see the moment, but God sees the whole picture. So what could be bad might turn out to be a blessing. What might be good could turn out to be a curse. It's like,
amen.
Life is long, and your peace is not in this world. It's in heaven. So it only stands to reason that the peace that we find is when we're closest to heaven, when we're closest to Christ.
And I love when, I think it's on page am I on? 138, Father John says, trouble, sadness, and bitterness after a sin often come from offended self-love. We regret less the sin as such than the fact that it humiliates us. Peace does not, he's just so frank. Peace does not necessarily mean sensible joy, but it is the happiness of him who knows he is where he ought to be and who asks for nothing but what he has, who is always joyous because Jesus, who is all his joy, is always with him. I'm like, oh, come on. Come on, Father John. And that's just so beautiful, too, because it gets back to the whole pride, humility, peace thing, where I feel like you touched on this earlier, too, where I feel like, again, so often the things that can feel like massive offenses or disappointments are such graces of gifts of mm-hmm. grace, right? Where like if you've experienced great humiliation, it can be extremely painful. And who experienced it more than Christ himself? But it's really such an opportunity and such a gift to crush that pride, what he speaks to here of that self-love.
Mm.
And we can either just be offended and humiliated because we're embarrassed. Right. We don't like what the world sees of us. That's
like a tough, honest moment. Right? Like, what's this about?
Right.
Is this about and you did something wrong or because your vanity right. is getting in your way?
And so it's all the time that we let, again, it's this idea that I was talking about earlier where I, or was it last podcast? It might have been last podcast. Mm-hmm. About the fact of when I experienced something that was really painful for me and I'm like, Jesus, you could have stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have stopped it, but you didn't. And these are like those opportunities where, okay, why? Why did you, you being perfect, your will that is good, your care for me that is tender and loving, you allowed this experience for me. And why? And these are those opportunities where we turn to him with that fervent desire, right? And that tininess and littleness to know that his will is perfect, not ours.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep that peace in our hearts where we can say, okay, let me open myself up to what could you be stretching here? What could you mm-hmm. be plucking here? What could you be pruning here for my eyes to be open to that I might not have known before? I might not have noticed before. Yes, I'm not saying we don't come to him crying and weeping, because we can get into mm-hmm. whole conversations about how Jesus himself wept. But there's a beauty in us taking these experiences of humiliation or these sins that we might have massive regrets on and keeping that peace that Father Jean talks about, mm-hmm. like that you have no right, right to lose your peace, even peace amidst the tears.
Well, he talks about it in so many different ways too. Like here's your peace because I've already saved you.
Mm.
It's already done. Yeah. Like the cross is already won. So reminding ourselves of that takes time and time again, reminder, right? The other thing that I never really thought through, these humiliations give us a chance to be in communion with him.
Amen.
And compare to his suffering, to put ourselves next to him and feel how even for us, the things that hurt us the deepest are a drop in the ocean compared to what he takes on for us, right? Helps take the bitterness out of it, right? It takes that edge off the top of that mountain that feels insurmountable mm-hmm. to us because he's like, I've already won that cross for you. I've mm. already felt that pain for you. And now our hearts are closer.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, I love that. And it's that idea too of like speaking of humiliation, like Christ more than anybody else was so misunderstood by so many. Imagine, I mean, we get frustrated and broken and hurt by things all the time when our hearts are misunderstood
mm-hmm.
and people don't trust us
mm-hmm.
and we feel like there's judgments or whatever it is. Christ, who came in the flesh solely to save us, solely to bring us to be with him forever in heaven, was crucified on the cross, tormented, mm-hmm. mocked, beaten, naked, bloody
mm-hmm.
and killed when all he was trying to do was save us. I mean, if there isn't a misunderstanding of heart or humiliation that like greater. You can't compare. Yes. Yes. There's just no comparison. You could say, well, I was trying to be nice to this girl and she was offended by me. Gosh, she doesn't get
right, right.
God came to literally he came to go, I'm gonna rescue you, and we said, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna murder you.
Instead.
Right. I mean, talk about yes. the greatness of the example that he gave us for us to endure any type of humiliation right. and suffering. Right. Like he's tasted it beyond anything any of us will ever know.
Yes.
And so it's so beautiful to be, like you said, to have that opportunity of that communion with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And he's,
and what's amazing is like in my pondering, in my prayer on that, I start with thinking like, here's my taste. And what I get is how far I am from
oh.
littleness.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, you are so great. You are so high. You are so above. And it's like, thank you for loving me. Like, really, it becomes unbelievable that he loves us so much. I know it in my heart. I live it. But it's like, you know, mm-hmm. you got to say those words. Over. I just cannot believe that you love this as much.
And not even you love, and this is again where I like repeat this all the time, like even to my kids, but not that you love us this much. You love me.
Yeah.
This much. And that's what he's looking for. It's that intimate, personal relationship mm-hmm. desire. Mm-hmm. I don't desire the God up above. Mm-hmm. I desire him here,
do you present. Know what I was so comforted by when I was a child was he knows every hair on your head. And I just, I remember as a child thinking about that because it's like, I can't even count how many eyebrow hairs I have. I can't even count my eyelashes.
My head, my hair, my head.
God knows, and he knows how many are on my brother's hat. Like,
what the?
Yeah, but there is my simple little childness. Mm. And I love that I have that memory
yeah, from that's childhood beautiful.
Of just that comfort. So when things get tough throughout the day, that might be the great desire to go back to, like to love so much that you know every hair on that. And we're loved that way.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I would just say that, like, I mean, even just you're talking now, we just keep wrapping it into the child like thing mm-hmm. that, like, this is just like an opportunity. I would encourage all my listeners to go out there this week. And if you have children, do this with your children or a niece or a nephew or a younger sibling or whatever it is, but look at them and just gaze in admiration of the emptiness, the beautiful emptiness and gifts that they have yet to have a lot be filled with a lot of the junk that we are. Mm. And to admire it and to be inspired to go after it, right? But before we actually fully close up, do you have anything else you want to add?
Because this
we're
is
getting,
great.
Oh yeah,
this
we're getting
beautiful.
Yeah, I'm gonna give us one actual challenge besides that idea of looking out at your kiddos and mm-hmm. and what and any child you're in close proximity to. But this week, the challenge is to put humility into action this week by honestly putting yourself in the last place in some way. And that, friends, that could be as simple as like not having cake if everybody else has to have a piece of cake and there's none left for you, or in relationship and really friendships mm-hmm. or with your loved ones that you struggle with or with your spouse in some way. Grow and stretch yourself in humility by seeing how you can put yourself in last place this week. Okay. Awesome.
Love it.
Love it. Check out the discussion questions and the show notes. And next week, we'll be talking to you about fraternal charity. All right. Have a good week, God. Blessings.